29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Romans 12:1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Romans 12:1. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4:10. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. And Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5:1. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of James, chapter 3, verse 14. James chapter 3, verse 14. Our purpose for being here this evening, as always, is to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has blessed all of us so richly. We're still alive. That means that God has a purpose and a plan for our existence and our still being here. And we're here tonight to open our hearts and minds to His Word. I want to tell you at the outset that we have a tremendous amount of information to share with you, and I trust that you will have your pen ready or pencil sharp, and you'll be able to take notes tonight. I have to decide how I'm going to deal with messages. Sometimes we could take one particular verse or one particular subject and spend the entire 30 or 40 minutes there. But tonight we're going to be dealing with the subject of the journey backward, or the backward journey. Dealing again with the subject of backsliding. And I trust that this will be helpful to you. In a few moments we're going to put a transparency up here for you to see. We'll be dealing with the description of backsliding. We'll be dealing with the types of backsliding. And then we'll be dealing with the subject of the future of backsliding. And I'll be sharing with you a number of verses of Scripture as we move along this evening. Before we begin our Scripture study and our study for tonight, may we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we rejoice tonight in the fact that we are members of the royal family. We know that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heaven is our eternal home. While we're here on this earth, you have a plan for us, and that plan is for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. In these moments we're gathered tonight, we pray that we will have a desire to receive spiritual fuel for our souls, that we might take the truth of God tonight and not only hear it with our ears, but hear the Word with our hearts, the mentality of our souls, that we'll be able to take the things we're receiving and utilize them as we live from day to day. We're thankful for your grace, and we ask that you will be with us in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen and on the back of last Sunday's bulletin, you see James chapter 3, verse 14. We've already spent time in the exegetical studies, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. But let's look at the verse for just a few moments. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, first-class conditional clause, and it is true that you do. Then there's an imperative verb, stop glorying. Then there's another imperative verb, stop lying against the truth. There are some beautiful words in this verse of Scripture. We've emphasized the fact that we have here, stop glorying. You'll be benefited if you stop glorying. Stop lying against the truth. You'll be benefited if you stop lying against the truth. The last word in this verse is the Greek word aletheos, and it is that beautiful word for truth. God's word, God's message for us. It seems to me that the Spirit of God is using James to say to these individuals and to us tonight, if you have bitter envying and strife in the mentality of your soul, do not glory about that. In fact, stop glorying about it, and you'll be benefited if you stop glorying. And stop lying against the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word, and you'll be benefited if you do. The word backsliding is an interesting word. It is a word which means relapse, revert, regress. Backslide is the word which means to revert to a worse condition or retrogress, which means to move backward. It's interesting to find that in the Old Testament that word backslide is used over and over again. There are three major ways that the word is used. In Proverbs 14:14, the word means to be disloyal or to deviate. To be disloyal or to deviate. When you go to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, and chapter 3, verse 11, when a person is backsliding, it emphasizes that they're moving into the area of apostasy. And I think all of us here tonight know what the word apostasy means. The third way that the word is used in the Old Testament is found in Hosea chapter 4, verse 16. In Hosea 4:16, it means to be stubborn, or it means to be obstinate. The book of Jeremiah is an interesting book, and Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. We find in the 9th chapter of the book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah describes himself as a person who is crying, weeping, sobbing. Jeremiah 8:5 says, and then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding. When I find Jeremiah 8:5, and I want to remind you again, if you will, to write that down. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? And goes on to say they hold fast deceit and they refuse to return. When you go to Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 5, the word apostasy describes that condition. In Jeremiah 31, you need to write this one down. Jeremiah 31 verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord had created a new thing on the earth. A woman shall compass a man. I told you that that's a fantastic verse of Scripture. The last part of it is very interesting, and I'm not here tonight to discuss that, but I would like for you to at least know it's Jeremiah 31, 22. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 16, we read, for Israel slides back as a backsliding heifer. Now, I don't think that anyone should call their wife a heifer. But I know that there have been times when men have done that. But in Hosea 4:16, it says, Israel slides back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. In Hosea 4:16, which I just read to you, that word backsliding there means stubborn or obstinate. I guess that's the reason why sometimes men call their wives a heifer. Because they conclude that they are stubborn or obstinate. Judah, as you all know, refused to listen to the prophets which God had sent them. And God finally showed Judah their whoredoms and commanded Hosea, you remember, to marry a prostitute. God showed them that they had abandoned the way of righteousness and were no better than a prostitute. It's interesting to me to see that that word heifer is used there in Hosea 4:16. And then I realized that a little bit later, a golden calf was a picture of the hearts of the unbelieving Israelites. This shows us that God's law cannot be obeyed from the external. Instead, it has to be planted on the inside. And that which is on the inside needs to be working its way to the outside. I'm sure you perhaps remember that the Apostle Paul had trouble with his old sin nature. Is it true that you have trouble with your old sin nature? Now, I'm not going to ask you to give any testimonies tonight, but I would imagine that if you were truthful, you would have to agree that there are times throughout each day that you have trouble with your old sinful nature. If you have the tendency toward lasciviousness, then that's where you find yourself. If you have the tendency toward asceticism, then that's where you find yourself. But what we're saying tonight is that we all have trouble with our sinful nature. In Proverbs 14:14 it says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." What you find in Proverbs 14:14 is that this is an emphasis on deviating from the truth. Filled with your own ways, therefore shall they eat, the scripture says, of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. When I looked at Proverbs 14:14, I tried to realize that I needed to tell you that there's something very, very powerful here. This is telling me that the believer and or the unbeliever builds his life oftentimes on many false teachings and philosophies to the point that they start to live in those philosophies and in those false concepts. After a while, they begin to embellish them. And these embellishments normally lead to false religion and false systems of beliefs. In other words, this verse is telling us that these backsliders are steeped in their own false concepts, which is a deviation from the truth of God's Word. When I tell you this, you're going to realize that I study and find all kinds of interesting things. I'm sure that you're going to understand what this illustration is all about. Some of you may have heard, or some of you may not have heard, of Hyman Wiese. Hyman Wiese of the North Side Gang, which opposed Al Capone in the 1920s. Now, that rings a bell with probably someone here tonight. H-Y-M-I-E, Hyman Wiese, W-E-I-S-S, of the North Side Gang, which opposed Al Capone in the 1920s. What I discovered about him was something most unusual, and that is he was personally responsible for the murder of over 20 men until one day he was gunned down in 1926 on his way to church. And it was his custom, I understand, to go to church almost every day of his life. Would we consider him a carnal individual? Would we consider him an unbeliever? I'm saying to you that that is an extreme situation. He went to church almost every day. If you'd like to find something very interesting, look him up. And you'll find out a lot of things about his prayer life and his prayer book and what he did in the midst of all of the fact that he was murdering people at the same time. And he killed 20 people before he was gunned down in 1926 on his way to church. I would have to consider that a backward journey. And perhaps you would have to consider it the same. The backward journey is described in the Word of God. We have descriptions of the backward journey. We have types of the backward journey. And we have future of the backward journey. I'm always aware of the fact, when I come to a point like this and put this type of thing on the screen, Some of you are going to go a little bit wild on me. I know what's happening. You'll begin to get your pen out and you'll begin to write rapidly. And that's okay. Before we leave here tonight, which is not too far from right now, we're going to go through the backward journey. What I've done to make it simple for you is to put just simple words up here. I have scriptures that go along with each one of these words. The backward journey is described in three ways. There's a description in God's Word related to traveling the wrong way. It's described as drifting. It's described as failing. It's described as an uncircumcised heart. It's described by the word torture. It's described by unstable. It's described by the word lukewarm. It's described by the word enemy. It is described in the book of Revelation by leaving your first love. And in the book of Revelation, it is described as falling. Now, I hope that you don't get too nervous about this. I want to give you scriptures and I want to go to some of these verses. Because I believe that as we go to these, you're going to be able to see some things you've never seen before. A person who chooses to go down the wrong road, who puts his life in reverse gear, who chooses to retrogress, revert, he chooses to be out of fellowship with the Lord. He may be out of fellowship or she may be out of fellowship for a few seconds or a few minutes or a few hours. Or sometimes people get into a situation where they're out of fellowship for days. And I'm here tonight to tell you that that's a tragic situation indeed. We need to have what I would classify as short circuits or short accounts with God, which simply means that when we find ourselves out of harmony, do something about it rapidly. Don't stay out of harmony too long. The scripture says in Galatians 5:4, the first one up here, that a person who chooses to travel the wrong road is drifting off course from God's grace. I'm going to open my Bible tonight to Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. And if you want to turn to that passage, that's fine with me. We're going to look at it for just a few moments. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. I find this verse very powerful indeed. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatian believers, in Galatians 5, verse 3 says, I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. Then, Galatians 5, 4, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen, drifted off course from grace. Now the great temptation I have is to spend all of my time on one verse, and I can't do that because I want you to see the total picture here tonight. I do need to tell you though that this is a verse that is so often so misunderstood and abused and rejected from what God is really presenting here. As you know, I will have to get into the original language just for a few moments to let you see what is being presented here. Verse 3 says, Paul writing to the Galatian believers, I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he's under obligation if he's going to depend upon circumcision for salvation. He's going to have to keep the whole law. He cannot fail in any area because as the chain goes, if you break one particular loop in that chain, then the whole chain is without value. Then it says, verse 4, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law. You can see that very easily, can't you? It says, if you're seeking to be satisfied and saved by the law, then you have to keep the law totally, all the way from start to finish. But then he says, here's what happens. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Now, boy, people go into that verse and they'll say, that says that you can be saved and you can be lost, and that's an assurance that there's no eternal security, and they'll take you up and down, and they don't even know what they're talking about. But let me show you what it says. Fallen is the Greek word, and you want to write these letters out. Ek, pipto. Ek, E-K-P-I-T-O. Pipto. P-I-T-O. Now, let me show you how fantastic this is. Here's the grace of God. And here's a person. And they are analyzing the grace of God. And they are not in the grace of God. And they fall outside or away from the grace of God. Ek, P-I-T-O. You got that? Simple. If you understand that, you won't have any trouble with this. This is not an emphasis upon being saved and then sinning against God and being lost. Not so at all. It just simply says that a person who chooses to backslide is drifting off course from the grace of God. Now, preacher, you could stay longer there. Yes, I could. But let's go to the next one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Failing from the grace of God. Let me hurry and let you get these scriptures down. Number 2 is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Failing from the grace of God. Number 3, as you can see, is the word uncircumcised. But in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, Jeremiah 9, 15 and 16, the scripture talks about an uncircumcised heart, an uncircumcised ear. All through the Old Testament, you'll have an emphasis upon uncircumcision. In the New Testament, you'll find that the scripture says there's not an emphasis upon whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. What is important is a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 9, 15 and 16. The next one, number 4, tortured soul. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. A tortured soul. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. Number 5 is an unstable soul. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. My, do I want to get into each one of these verses? But I have to let you see that I'm trying to give you an overview tonight. And so if you'll take the verses down, then later you can go back and look them up and they'll be a blessing to you. Number 6, lukewarm. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. This is a passage of scripture that most of you know because we've studied the book of Revelation and we looked through all of these various churches of Asia Minor and we got to that church of Laodicea. You remember that? The emphasis there is on the Lord being so disturbed up to the point of wanting to regurgitate. That's the word which means to... What's another word? Vomit. I'm trying to find a word other than puke. But I gave it to you anyway. Now you know. I want you to see that the Lord says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. And I'm going to back up just a moment and let you see what it says. But I have this against you. You have left your first love. That's Revelation 2, 4. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. Let me read it to you. I have a few things against you. Revelation chapter 3. Thus you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Verse 16. Repent therefore, or else I'm coming to you quickly and I will make war against you with the sword of my mouth. Lukewarm. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. Number 7, you see it on the screen, is the enemy of the cross. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Number 8, leaving your first love. And that's what I read just a moment ago. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, I have this against you. You have left your first love. And then Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, remember therefore from where you've fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Those are nine descriptions of the backsliding condition. Now, you want the verses again, don't you? Here we go. Number one, drifting off course from the grace of God, Galatians 5:4. Number two, failing from the grace of God, Hebrews 12:15. Uncircumcised heart, Jeremiah 9:15-16. Number four, tortured soul, 2 Peter 2:7-8. Number five, an unstable soul, 2 Peter 2:14. Number six, lukewarm, Revelation 3:15-16. Number seven, an enemy of the cross, Philippians 3:18. Number eight, leaving your first love, Revelation 2:4. And nine, remember from whence you've fallen, Revelation 2:5. I can't just tell you how wonderful I am to tell you how nice I am to go back and give you all those verses, because I just imagine that some of you didn't get them all. And so I had to tell you that I'm trying to be nice. And so I hope now that you have those verses. All right. Are you ready for division number two? On the screen, I hope you can see this from where you're sitting. If not, I'm going to give it to you. There are various types of backsliding. Some of this is not rated as G or PG. It's rated something more than that. And so I want you to see what we're going now. The first word is the word phalic. And I want you to see that we're going to be looking at some verses of Scripture. The first one is 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 21. I'm going to turn to that passage of Scripture because I want you to see 2 Corinthians 12, verse 21. You can go into the Old Testament and you will discover that people have involved themselves in disobedience to God. They've involved themselves in immorality. They've involved themselves in impurity. They've involved themselves in sensuality. Those are words that are used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, to write out the word phallic. And now by the side of it, first of all, write 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. I don't know how much time I'm going to spend here, but I want you to see something. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians. I don't know how much you know about the Corinthians. The Apostle Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. If you know anything about the Corinthians, you'll know that they were a messed up group of individuals. And they had a lot of foreign ideas and concepts. And the Apostle Paul preached and taught those individuals, and they chose to go oftentimes in the wrong direction. They got all messed up in the area of spiritual gifts. They got all messed up in relationship to such subjects as spiritual gifts of tongues and divine healing and healers and all that kind of stuff. But here's what we find in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at it. I'm afraid, Paul says, that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past, and they have not repented. They've sinned, and they've not repented of what? Of impurity, of immorality, and sensuality, which they have practiced. Now, I've told you this in the past, and I'm not going to do it now at length. But there are different words in the New Testament for the word do. It's amazing to me that in one particular passage of Scripture, the word do is translated in the King James about three or four different times. But each word in the original text is a different word in the Greek. The reason why it's important for us to know what the Word of God says in the original is because you would never understand that if you didn't know the difference in those words. Right here, if you look in whatever translation you have, you'll probably find the expression, which they practiced. And the word emphasizes the fact that here are the Corinthians, and they were involved in all kinds of disobedience, and they were not repenting of their disobedience. They were involved in impurity. They were involved in immorality. They were involved in sensuality. Now, I want you to know that I have files of transparencies, and I started to bring one of those for you to be able to see the word in the original text. But let me just take a few moments and let you see something. The word impurity. If you want to write out by the side of the word impurity, it is akatharsia. Catharsis comes from that word. Catharsis means to clean. If you put a alpha privative on the beginning, it means not clean. So it means uncleanness. The Corinthians were being described by the Apostle Paul as not being clean. And so they were described as impure. It's also, next word, immorality. What is the word immorality? It is the Greek word porneia. P-O-R-N-E-I-A. From which we get our English word pornographic, porneia. It is a word which means fornication. We all know the difference between adultery and fornication. Here's an emphasis upon fornication. It is the Greek word porneia. And then there's the word sensuality. I'm letting you see that the Word of God deals with backsliding in relationship to the phallic expression. And sensuality is the word aselegia, a S-E-L-E-G-I-A. What does that word mean? Aselegia. It means lewdness. It means sensuality. Are we living in that kind of a day? Am I saying something to you that is not new to you? I'm saying something to you tonight that is very old to you. You're aware of this. And the Apostle Paul is saying, as he's writing these Corinthians, and we're in the last of this second Corinthians, and he says, I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humiliate me before you. And I may mourn over many of those who've sinned in the past, and they've not repented of it. They have been involved in aselegia. They've been involved in akatharsia. They've been involved in porneia. They've been involved in lewdness, sensuality, fornication, uncleanness. And they have not repented. Next Sunday, in the second service, I want to deal with that subject, turning back to God, which is the word repentance. You see it over and over, all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. There's a continual cry for people to turn to God. All right? Why am I so excited? You folks don't seem to be all that excited. Types of backsliding. The phallic emphasis. The second one is ritual. Hebrews 5:11. What you have to do is go into the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, begin with verse 11, and read all the way through that chapter into the 6th chapter, down to verse 5. So it's Hebrews 5:11 through 6:5. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. There is ritual backsliding. Could I tell you tonight that there are people involved in various types of rituals? And their emphasis is such that they've come to the conclusion that by doing this, that's the way to honor God. In other words, some people are of the opinion that they are involved in certain types of rituals, and I won't even have to get into all these things. But they have concluded that the ritual is that which pleases God. And you and I know what pleases God. It is being in harmony with Him. Being cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit. Being saturated with the mind of Jesus Christ. Desiring on a daily basis to walk with Him. That's what's important. It's not our involvement in some type of a ritual. And many people are involved today in various kinds of rituals. Number three, another type of backsliding is what we call monetary backsliding. These are verses that are very interesting. James 4, 13 and 14. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. I'll repeat those. James 4, 13 and 14. James 5, 1 through 6. Revelation 3, 14 through 20. And then when you go back into the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 5, 10 through 16. The fourth one you see on the screen is what is known as drug addiction. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Have you ever noticed this? In Galatians 5, 20, the Greek word there is pharmakia, from which we get our English word pharmacy. There are many people today who are addicted. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to alcohol. They're addicted to whatever. Galatians 5:20. And also in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 28, verses 1 through 9. Number 5 on the screen is anti-establishment. Romans 1, 18 to 32. When I mention the word Romans, and when I mention the scripture Romans 1, does that ring any bell with any of you? Is there anything that rings a bell in your mind when I say Romans chapter 1? Something should ring a bell in your mind, because you should have been in the chapter 1 of Romans enough to know that God's Word is extremely powerful in that passage of Scripture. Anti-establishment. Turning the back against the plan of God. Don't let that door bother you. That's all right. I knew we'd have a little distraction once in a while, because we're into something that all of us, I think, should know about. Number 6, James 4, 7. Mental attitude. James 4, 7. That's a type of backsliding. Mental attitude backsliding. Number 7 is a verbal backsliding. James 5, 9 and 12. Can you see how it would be important just to take each one of these passages and deal with it for hours? Number 8. Please notice now, I'm getting to this one because I want to spend a little time here. Number 8, the type of backsliding, is what I'm calling mental illness backsliding. 2 Peter 2, 15 and 19. Are you aware of the fact that a person can be born into God's kingdom and then revolt, turn against God's plan? And as a result of this, they are traveling down the low, winding, gravel road, I call it, of misery and disruption and unhappiness in their lives. They're searching for something that will satisfy. And as a result of their search, they're trying to find it in whatever. It may be sex, it may be alcohol, it may be drugs, whatever it is. They're searching. This takes place in the life of unbelievers. It takes place in the life of believers. It is what I call, in relationship to believers, a revolt. They have come to the point where they do not want to hear God's Word. And as I've said before, they become shepherds of their own soul. you and I must realize the importance of hearing God's Word communicated verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. I love you when I communicate God's Word from the original text. I love you when I preach God's Word verse by verse and chapter by chapter and book by book. But I'm aware of the fact that many people have turned their backs on God and God's Word, and as a result of that, they've come to the point of mental illness. Well, I thought maybe you're going to cough and spit that one up. I don't know who did it, but don't worry about it. Okay, here we go on the last section. And I only have a few minutes, and I've got a lot to say, but let's do it. The future of backsliding believers. First thing is, will not perish. We're united with Christ, Ephesians 2:13. We're new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're completely justified in God's sight, Romans 3:24. We're baptized into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I'm coming back in a few moments to give this to you. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. And we're made citizens of heaven, Ephesians 2:6. Now, if you didn't get anything else tonight down, you ought to get this down. What God has done in your life is that He's worked the miracle of regeneration. You're heaven bound. You may and I may fail, and we all do, but we will not perish. Number one, we are saved with an eternal salvation. Number two, we're united with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:13. Three, we're new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Four, we're completely justified in God's sight. Justified in God's sight. Romans 3:24. We're baptized into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Can y'all see how fantastic all this is? We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. John chapter 10. And number 8, we're made citizens of heaven. Ephesians 2:6. Will not perish is number 1, future of a backslider. Number 2, we can expect to be spanked. You might not want to hear that, but Hebrews 12:5, 6, 7 says, He whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If ye be without chastisement, wherein all are partakers, then are ye bastards, illegitimate, and not sons. Hebrews 12:5, 6, and 7. You can put it down, we can expect to be chastened. There are three types. There is chastening, there is scourging, and there is the sin unto death. Number 3, future of a backslider. We may die prematurely. 1 John 5:16. We may die prematurely. That is what is known as the sin unto death. 1 John 5:16. If you want an illustration of that, you go to the 5th chapter of the book of Acts. And tonight, before you go to sleep, you ought to read the 5th chapter of the book of Acts. And number 4, Future of a backslider. One, will not perish. Two, can expect a spanking. Three, may die prematurely. Four, can be fully restored. 1 Corinthians 5:5. 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 8. Now, if you got some food tonight, someone may say, if you wanted to feed the cattle, would you give them the whole bale, the whole truckload of hay, or would you just give them one bale? Well, tonight, I'm sure that you feel that I've unloaded the whole truckload on you. But I did that on purpose because I want you to see that the whole truckload has many bales, and each one of those bales is extremely important. And I trust that you are able to get some of the information tonight that you can take home, and you can look up these verses. You can see how powerful it is, what God's Word has to say about the backward journey. God doesn't want us to put our lives in reverse gear. He wants us to move forward. And when we're moving forward, we can expect some distractions along the way. We can expect some difficulties. But I promise you, it's going to be a good life, a magnificent life. It's going to be a victorious, triumphant life, even though we face difficulties along the way. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for this magnificent subject. We realize that each one of us here tonight can choose to go the backward journey. We can travel in the wrong direction, or we can go in the right direction. Help us to choose on a daily basis to love the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently, love the Word of God, study diligently, that we might find ourselves as happy, radiant, triumphant, victorious believers. And for those who hear this message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may they know that when God loved, He loved the world. And when Christ died, He died that they might believe and have eternal life. The Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We're thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.